we're so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
Yeah, the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Show, Western Canada's only radio program focusing on animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is CFRO 100.5 FM Co-op Radio, Vancouver, Canada. Today is Friday, December 30th, 2016. For the next hour, I'm your host, Jen Dobell, and I'm joined in studio today by my vegan animal rights hero and co-host, Sinead Sanders.
Hello. Well, we're nearing the end of 2016, which brings a huge opportunity to create some new compassionate vegans with what we call Veganuary. So for those who don't know what Veganuary is, Veganuary aims to reduce the suffering of animals by inspiring and supporting people across the globe to go vegan for the month of January, and hopefully forevermore. So on today's show, we'll feature interviews with two Vancouverites who plan to go vegan this year. And so stay tuned for those interviews in about 20 minutes.
And Sinead, are you making any New Year's resolutions?
Well,
I think you're perfect. I don't think anything needs to change. But we all have something we want to improve on.
We all have something. I don't know. I want to write more in general. I want to write more letters. Write more songs, make a new record, and make a difference for animals, essentially.
Well, you already are making a difference for animals. And for those of you who don't know, Sinead is a singer-songwriter. She was on last week's show playing a song. What did you call your song?
Well, it was Kind Christmas. It was White Christmas, and I reworded it to Kind Christmas. So
it was beautiful. It's up on our Facebook page if you're interested in listening to that. I didn't know your voice was that good. I was melting. That was so great. I mean, I haven't really heard you sing before, so I'd love to come out and see some of your live events. And do you know anyone who plans to go vegan for Veganuary?
Not for Veganuary specifically, but I have a number of friends who have expressed an interest in at least moving toward a plant-based diet. You know, people are caring and people are wanting to make the shift. So I think initiatives like this are great because it sort of gives people a focus, like, okay, you know, for this month, let's see what I can do. And yeah, it helps people to explore it. So I'll be talking to them about that and making some suggestions. And
great.
Yeah.
And there's solidarity in a bunch of people doing it together. It's like the polar bear swim. We all do it together. It's not so bad.
Yes. And honestly, vegan food is a whole lot more comfortable than the polar bear swim, depending. Like, I'll go swimming any time of the year. So, but, you know, generally speaking.
Right. I shouldn't compare going vegan to a polar bear swim. Anyway, this January marks my 2-year veganiversary, actually. I went vegan after attending a protest at the Vancouver Aquarium and calling myself out for being hypocritical and species for fighting for the freedom and autonomy of the animals who were held captive for entertainment purposes, yet not considering my contribution to the lives of animals in our so-called food system. And my dear friend and fellow activist Taylor Freeman urged me to watch the powerful documentary Earthlings, and that did it for me. I urge everyone who isn't vegan to watch this important film, which documents the lives of animals all over the world who are manipulated, exploited, and killed at the hands of humans. It's difficult to get through, but I will present you with something to think about if you are hesitant. We owe it to the animals to witness the impact that our dominance has had on them. This film is just 95 minutes in length, and that's nothing compared to the hours, days, months, or years that these animals have suffered for our desires. We don't deserve to shield our eyes from what their bodies must endure. Watching this film completely changed my life and transformed me into a vegan activist. I now spend nearly all of my free time advocating for animals, which has brought a lot of meaning and soul-fulfilling relationships into my life. I've met filmmakers, grassroots activists who inspire me every day, animal law lawyers, photojournalists, undercover investigators who obtain video footage of factory farms and slaughterhouses, and so many people working in the nonprofit sector. You can find the Earthlings documentary on YouTube. I hope you watch it and that it calls you into action. The animals need our help. And if it does call you into action, let us hear your story. We would love to have you on the Animal Voices show, or you could just send us an email through our website, animalvoices.org. If you don't want to share it with the world, we'd love to hear it. So Sinead, how has your life been transformed by becoming a vegan animal rights activist?
Well, Well, it's kind of funny because, as I've mentioned on the show before, I was raised mostly vegetarian, and so speaking out for animals, and it has been something I've been doing kind of since I was a kid. I would come to school with, you know, the kids' PETA magazines, and, "You guys, look what happens to the fish." And but I didn't go vegan until I was 20. So over the past 8 years since then, it's been great. I've learned so much, and it's really empowering. People seem to think of going vegan as something like you're taking something away from your life, but I am eating a wider variety of foods than I ever did before when I was eating dairy and eggs still. And it's been great. It's empowering. It feels good in a lot of different ways. And, you know, more importantly, it makes a difference to, you know, it reduces unnecessary suffering in the world. And who doesn't want to do that, really?
Exactly.
.5 means non-commercial, listener-powered, community radio. 100.5 means music, public affairs,
I have a dream,
and arts programming.
Right up in here, we'll make a happy little cloud.
You won't find anywhere else on the radio dial. 100.5 is not owned by a huge corporation. We are owned and operated by people like you, by your community. 100.5 CFRO Vancouver Cooperative Radio. Find our complete program schedule at coopradio.org.
All right, so we've got a few news stories today. My favorite, I think, has to be, I read this week that 24 members of the EU Parliament have signed a letter to the European Commission President insisting on a reduction in animal agriculture and a shift to promoting a plant-based diet. In the letter, they stress the need to reduce consumption levels by at least 30% by 2030 in order to help meet climate targets, reduce pressure on river basins, and reduce the incidence of serious chronic health problems caused by meat and dairy. So they go as far as stating that the science is clear that reductions in meat and dairy consumption are required to achieve meaningful reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. The letter also clearly outlines the negative health implications of meat and dairy consumption, claiming that individuals who eat a plant-based diet are likely to have lower body weight, decreased risk of diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and some cancers, even as chronic diseases account for 80% of deaths in the EU. So this is great. They're calling for to get rid of, stop subsidizing these industries, for one thing, that are destroying the planet and the health of the population. They're calling to increase education and public awareness around the negative health implications of meat consumption. They want to produce dietary guidelines that address the environmental, climate, health, and animal welfare impacts. They want to consider taxing meat and creating incentives for healthy plant-based foods, bringing transparency to the food industry's lobbying practices, encouraging plant-based catering at EU events and in state schools and public bodies, funding relevant research, implementing awareness-raising campaigns, and considering an EU ban on the advertising of processed meat, which is classified by the World Health Organization as carcinogenic. So this is great that that members of parliament in the EU are bringing attention to this issue, because frankly, there hasn't been enough of it, Jen.
I'm overjoyed by this news. I find it such a contrast to Canadian government policies and attitudes. For example, Canada's dairy industry is extremely politically influential. Even with the number of dairy farms dropping by a staggering 91% in Canada since 1971, they've managed to still impose their implied influence over politicians. Even as milk sales continue to slide with diets and society shifts away from dairy, their lobby efforts have increased. Huge subsidies have been given to the egg, meat, and dairy industries. So this is great, and hopefully Canada follows suit.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense for our tax dollars to go toward industries that are actually destroying our planet and our health.
Right.
It's just absurd.
Right.
And, you know, speaking of which, by contrast, you know, in the EU, they're speaking out to promote a plant-based diet for the population. In the U.S., this week, 25 members of Congress wrote a letter to the USDA encouraging them to, well, arguing that plant-based milk cannot be called milk due to the fact that labeling almond milk, coconut milk, soy milk, etc., is, and I quote, misleading to consumers, harmful to the dairy industry, and a violation of milk's standard of identity. They go
I'm
on.
I'm rolling my eyes right now.
Yeah. They go on to define milk as, quote, the lacteal secretion obtained by the complete milking of one or more healthy cows. So, yeah, to us, that sounds like a game of semantics. Dairy. It's a money thing. Yeah, it's a money thing. The plant-based milk market alone has grown by 250% in the past 5 years, while the dairy industry has fallen by 7%. And as we said, you know, the dairy industry is very heavily subsidized. So it's about money. So while in Europe, they're fighting to shift toward more healthy and environmentally sound options, in the U.S., then members of government are fighting to promote it, to keep it going, to keep these practices going. And it's kind of silly. So,
but it shows that we're winning because they're clearly threatened.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. They would not be writing these types of letters with such silly arguments, because milk, like, we're not allowed to say milk. Are we not allowed to? I think Joanne Chang, who used to host on this show, she was saying how shaving cream, like, are we supposed to not call it shaving cream anymore? Because how else are we, like, mm-hmm. Well, how do I know that I'm not supposed to eat it if it's called cream, you know? They should.
Yeah, I know, it's very silly.
It's really silly. So
if you go vegan, you become aware of all the silliness in the world.
Yeah,
be prepared,
you know. So get on board, you know, ditch dairy, because That's going to be the smarter option for all of us in the long run. More news from Europe. Authorities in Barcelona have announced that the city is to become a dolphinaria-free city, which is great because Barcelona has had captive dolphins for the past 45 years, but this new ban, they're banning the building of any new dolphinaria, and new homes will be sought for the 6 dolphins currently held by Barcelona. This is particularly good news because Spain is, they've got a reputation as the dolphinarium of Europe, actually. They're home to almost half of the captive dolphins on the continent, and so for Barcelona to stand up and say we don't want this anymore, that's awesome, and hopefully it's a trend that continues, because they're still building more of these things in Spain. They're still building more in the Canary Islands, and it's important that we see this go, and that we see these things get shut down. We don't need more of them, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to see a ban. I find that very forward-thinking, but also a bit ironic because Spain's constitutional court has overturned Catalonia's controversial ban on bullfighting imposed by the regional government in 2010. 9 of the 12 judges ruled that the preservation of common cultural heritage was the responsibility of the state, and the Catalan parliament has exceeded its authority in banning what the court described in a statement as one more aggression of a cultural nature that forms part of the common cultural heritage.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they continue to follow suit with an ethical path and reverse that reversal of the ban again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been to Spain. Barcelona was the first European city that I ever went to, and I loved it there. And they have so many vegan restaurants.
Oh, great. I didn't know that.
They're actually really great. There are lots of people who are doing a lot of work for animals there. And so it's great to see this kind of a movement. And obviously, you know, the dolphinaria thing, that's not going to be protected in the same way that Spanish culture protects, well, Spanish culture, you know, the bullfighting. Yeah. That was really disappointing that that got overturned in Catalonia in October. But hopefully they will keep that up, and hopefully this keeps up, and Barcelona will influence the rest of the city to shut down the aquariums, because they're just not okay, you know?
I know.
They're just not okay. And yeah, so it's hoped that the remaining dolphins can possibly live out their lives in a sea sanctuary, which they're working on building over there, just like we have people working on that over here.
Right.
So, so that is also a good thing. All right, another little bit of news that I felt... that I felt was relevant to our show today. There was a study, or quote-unquote study. It wasn't a study at all, actually. There was a rumor over the internet, a whole bunch of headlines last week saying that there is this study that found that veganism is a more expensive diet, that vegans spend more money every year, an extra almost $2,500 a year annually on food. That's absurd. So... what this actually came from, this coupon website in the UK, Voucher Codes Pro, claimed that it conducted a survey revealing that people who adhere to specific diets, including vegan and gluten-free, spend more money on food. But, the media just sort of picked that up and went with it. And a media outlet called The Standard UK published a feature using the fake study as facts, but there's no evidence that any such study exists. And you don't need a study. You don't need a study to be able to tell that that's bogus, because vegan diets are... all you need to do is go into a restaurant and look at the veggie burger and the price of the veggie burger compared to everything else. The vegetarian options, the vegan options are always cheaper, and that's because plants are cheaper, generally, you know, depending on where you are in the world, and there are all the different systems, but generally speaking, there's a lot less expense that goes into plants than animals.
Sinead, it always amazes me. I do vegan advocacy every single day, and I hate to say it, but that is one of the common arguments against veganism. And I hear this from adults, and adults do their own grocery shopping and they eat in restaurants. And how is it that they haven't noticed yet that the most expensive items are the meats, cheeses, and eggs?
Yeah.
It baffles me. And I say this to them. I say, when you go grocery shopping, what are the most expensive items?
Yeah.
And they agree with me. And then I think, well, then why did you just tell me that you can't afford to go vegan? Beans, grains, vegetables, fruits. That's all really inexpensive stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nuts are a little more expensive, but you can buy nut butters. A jar of peanut butter is $5.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and again, you know, like protein, we don't need as much as everybody seems to think we need. So when people talk about nuts and they go, oh, it's so expensive, how am I supposed to eat enough? And it's like, if you eat a handful of nuts, that's gonna do you well for like the rest of the afternoon. Mm-hmm. You know?
I know. And it's still pennies compared to meats and eggs and cheese.
Yeah. And again, with, you know, the burger thing, if you think about going home and making burgers from scratch, think about how much you're going to spend if you get, and say you care, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to go with the humane washing, green washing stuff, and you
don't
go
believe
and,
the lie, but they, it is more expensive. Yes.
Yeah, you go get your humanely raised, quote unquote, that doesn't really exist, but you know, you get these ethically branded beef products or whatever, and you come home and you make your burger, how much is that going to cost versus if you take like rice and black beans and some vegetables and you throw it all together, and you can make a lot more veggie burgers on a lot less money
and live longer.
So that's interesting. I suspect we'll see a number more of those as this movement continues. You know, more and more people are going vegan, and people are getting
they're getting the message. Yeah. So you've got some events here?
Yes, I do. So quickly, I just wanted to mention tomorrow night, if you're looking for New Year's plans, there is a show at the Wise Hall. And the reason I'm mentioning it on the show is because not only is there going to be fine music featuring local bands like Devil in the Woodshack, Gold Stars Are for Suckers, it's a pizza party as well. And the pizza will be provided by East Van Pizza for $2 a slice. And East Van Pizza makes really good vegan pizza, so there will be vegan options. The show is $10 at the door, 9 p.m. start, champagne at midnight. And you can find more info at wisehall.ca. On Wednesday, January the 4th, there is a meatless meetup, a millennials Chinese dinner organized through Meatless Meetup. This is geared toward millennials born between 82 and 2004. This dinner is at Pokong, which we've raved about on the show before. It's delicious. The all-vegan menu for the night consists of some of their most popular dishes, spring rolls, orange cutlets, all sorts of stuff, and it's $12 all in, so it's a great deal. That's at Pokong, 1334 Kingsway, this Wednesday, and you can find more info at meetup.com/meatlessmeetup. And a little bit later in the month, Saturday, January 14th, Van Aquafacts of vanaquafacts.org is hosting a tabling, an outreach and tabling event at Vancouver City Center Station at Granville in Georgia. They're doing this outreach event ahead of a protest at the aquarium the following weekend. So they're gathering to leaflet and lead discussions, gather signatures, and encourage people to come to the protest the following weekend. So that's from noon to 4 p.m. on Saturday, January 14th. And you can find more info on their Facebook page, Van Aqua Facts, all one word. And yeah, then there is the protest itself, Saturday, January 21st. Yes, Saturday, January 21st at the Vancouver Aquarium. No more dead cetaceans. That's what we want, is no more dead cetaceans in Vancouver. This demo at the aquarium will be to oppose the keeping and display of cetaceans in captivity and to urge the aquarium and their patrons to recognize the potential to be leaders in the use of sea pens and transition release. We still don't have any answers on the deaths of Aurora or Kila, the belugas who died earlier this winter, and plans to expand the facility still stand. So the aquarium does plan to bring some of their belugas that they have at SeaWorld locations right now back into a larger tank. But we do not see this as a solution. This is not ethical. So this protest, there will be speakouts, leafleting, discussions, and there's a park board meeting two nights afterwards, so it's important to keep the pressure on. So again, that's Saturday, January 21st at the Vancouver Aquarium, 12 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. And again, you can find more information at vanaquafacts.org. We'll have the event posted on our Facebook page as well, Animal Voices Vancouver. If you have an animal-friendly event that you'd like to have announced on the show, you can send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com or contact us through our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver.
Thank you, Sinead. And now we're going to have our first interview guest. We have Taryn Bruckshaw on the phone. She's a Vancouver woman who plans to go from pescatarian to vegan this January. Welcome, Taryn.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for making time for us today. I'm always excited to talk to somebody that's willing to make a compassionate transition. So you recently made the decision to go from pescatarian to vegan. Who or what was your inspiration?
A few things, I'd say. My sister is vegan, and she has been for a while, and we lived together for a while. So just, you know, hearing the stories she had to tell me and kind of just learning more about the negative health side effects of continuing to eat animal products has kind of brought me to this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of you being pescatarian, I recently read a news article about a study that was performed on wild salmon from Puget Sound. And I sent you that article too, and it was mentioning that salmon is purported to be one of the healthiest foods due to its high omega-3 content, protein, and essential fatty acids. But if the fish is obtained from Puget Sound, it's anything but healthy. According to a recent study, up to 81 drugs and personal care products were detected in the flesh of salmon caught in the Puget Sound. And some of the drugs include Prozac, Advil, Benadryl, Benadryl, Lipitor, and even cocaine. The Seattle Times reports that the levels are believed to be so high because either people in the area use more of the drugs detected or because wastewater plants are unable to fully remove the chemicals during treatment. Another theory is that leaky septic tanks are contributing to the problem. And how did this make you feel when you read that?
Yeah, that was pretty alarming. I mean, I have always known about maybe, I think I always associated shrimp with kind of that type of thing, so I stayed away from that, but I thought other fish was okay. But as a person who, I really try to stay away from pharmaceuticals if I can. So that kind of struck me. You know, I've been trying all this time to keep my body free of toxins, and, you know, by eating this fish that I thought was healthy, it's mm-hmm. just putting it right back in there.
Yeah, I'm always trying to teach people that fish isn't healthy, and it takes a lot of convincing. I'm glad that I now have this study to refer to, and mm-hmm. although it only mentions the Puget Sound, of course we can assume that would be happening elsewhere as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
So what do you think will be the biggest challenge for you to overcome by going vegan, if there's a challenge at all for you?
Yeah, I think it would just be the maintaining a healthy diet and not going to the easy junk foods. I mean, when I went pescatarian, I didn't do it in the most healthy way in the beginning. I ate a lot of carbs, a lot of fats, supplemented with other things, didn't really get enough protein, and that affected my health. So now it's just more about being mindful about it, and that's why I'm kind of going into this a little bit slower than I did when I went pescatarian, because I want to do it right. I don't want to overwhelm myself and fall back on old habits just because I've done it wrong.
Right. And, you know, we absolutely do have a population of unhealthy vegans. Of course, there's unhealthy foods within a vegan diet. We can eat a lot mm-hmm. of bread and, you know, too much peanut butter can be fattening and all yeah. that kind of stuff. You can eat chips still. That's vegan. Mm-hmm. But I do want to emphasize here for you and for others listening that it's not difficult to be vegan at all and to do it right. Mm-hmm. We live in Vancouver and we have lots of options available. It just takes a little bit of discipline to make better food choices for ourselves, and myself included. I like mm-hmm. Chinese food a lot, and I've discovered a Buddhist restaurant that serves all my vegan options, and I go there too much.
I will have to get that from you.
I phoned you from there last night. I think I was actually eating while I was talking to you about today's interview, and it was funny because you were talking about junk food and I was thinking, mm-hmm.
Yep.
Do you have many? Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, yeah, you know, I've one reason that I think it's going to be a bit easier is because I've seen my sister do veganism, and she does it very healthily, and just seeing the way she's able to do it, it's made me think it's not going to be that hard. It's just making a few substitutions.
Yeah, and you used to live with her, and you were saying to me last night that you would cook vegan meals for her.
Yeah. I mean, most of the time I didn't have to alter a whole lot to make it vegan. You know, we bought all the substitute, like, you know, the vegan butters and vegan Parmesan cheeses when we'd have pasta and stuff. And so it wasn't that difficult. It's just maybe thinking about it a little bit more in the beginning, being more mindful of my food choices.
And do you have many vegan friends who can help you with recipe ideas or information about obtaining the nutrients you need?
Yeah, honestly, not really. I think I have my sister. I have another friend who really researched a lot into vegan, and I know she was practicing it for quite some time. But yeah, no, it's not really common amongst my friends.
Okay, so I think what you really need to help you stay on this path is vegan friends. So what I will suggest, you and I are now Facebook friends, yeah. and you will be victim to my constant vegan preaching, which will help. And I'm very strategic with what I post on Facebook. Also, I suggest you join Vancouver Vegans. Have you done that?
No, I haven't yet. But I'm sure there's just tons I can go on.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to be... excuse me, I just have to cough for a second. I have something in my throat. Sorry about that. At the end of the show, we're going to be recommending a whole bunch of books and videos and all kinds of things good. That will help you. But I will personally invite you to the next event that Vasanto Molina does. She's a nutritionist, dietitian, longtime vegan, lives in Vancouver. And I actually brought one of my dates to one of her speaking events, and he decided to go vegan right there on the spot. And it was funny to see what part of her talk influenced him. She was talking about impotency.
That's so funny.
Because artery clogging foods like a non-plant-based diet definitely can have an effect on things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And as someone who's probably in his early 40s, I'm sure that can be a concern, right?
Yeah.
So have you seen any documentaries such as Earthlings, Forks Over Knives, or Food Choices?
No, I haven't seen those ones. I started to get into, I watched Food Matters, so it was kind of talking about some of the bigger industries. So that got me thinking. I read the book that really turned me and opened my eyes to pescatarian initially was The Kind Diet. And that one, it really showed me more about the food industries, and I had no idea the way meat and eggs and all that stuff was produced. So that's the one that I started with, and I have all the other stuff queued up on my list, ready to watch.
Okay, so I have a question for you. I haven't heard of that book, and mm-hmm. It obviously talks about compassion if it's called The Kind Diet.
Yeah.
And it left you going pescatarian, but did it say that fish don't have a nervous system? Because they do.
No, so it's actually Alicia Silverstone is the author.
Okay, yeah.
And no, she is like super vegan is kind of what she called herself.
Mm-hmm.
She eats almost like a raw diet. The reason I remained pescatarian, I did try vegan initially,
mm-hmm.
but I found it just too hard without the proper education.
Okay.
Because I wasn't really finding the best sources for the information. So that's why it was difficult initially. But now I've educated myself more in the last few years, and I think I can make this change in a more smart way.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before I wasn't equipped for it. But yeah, no, she was definitely advocating for a plant-based diet.
That's good. I don't think I knew that she was vegan, and if I did, I forgot. But she's a pretty cool chick. I used to like her in the Aerosmith videos.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a 90s rock girl. So my next question, and this would be a giant step for you from going pescatarian and not even having many vegan friends to what I'm about to ask, but have you ever thought about getting involved in animal rights advocacy work?
I haven't really put much thought into it. I'm very passionate about animals. I don't even know where to begin in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know what I could do to help.
Right.
Just advocacy in general, I'm kind of just opening my eyes to like what power does the general person hold. So I'm learning around that. So it's something that I would be interested in, but honestly, I just kind of feel like I don't know where to start.
Okay, I'm glad we're Facebook friends then.
Yes.
I like to call myself a veganizer. I do animal advocacy every single day, and there's a different form for every kind of person. Some people are not super extroverted and they don't like to go up to strangers and talk to them. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of work that we need done just from our computer screens, which is why some vegan animal rights activists actually gain weight when they go vegan. It's not because it's not a healthy diet. It's because when you get into advocacy, there's a lot of sitting down in front of your computer. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. So you haven't seen the Earthlings documentary, right?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Have you heard about it, though?
Yeah. Yeah. My sister talked about it, and I'm not sure if it's on Netflix, but I've heard of it. Talked about a lot.
It's on YouTube, not Netflix. I do wish it was on Netflix, and I don't know why it's not, but I believe it's from 2005, and it is the vegan maker, and I would say the activist maker too.
Good. I'm taking all these notes. I'm getting ready, like January 1st is kind of the day that I'm making this commitment.
We put on public screenings quite often, so I'll invite you to one, because I think it's the kind of film that you do want to see with a group of people who are at the brink of a transformation. And afterwards, we always serve vegan food. And another tip I have for you, since you're writing things down, you can write down vegansupply.ca. This is an online ordering food service, basically. It's owned by the owners of the meat restaurants, M-E-E-T.
Oh.
It's sort of a play on words. There's Meat Gas Town and Meat on Main. Have you heard of
it? Oh, I love that. I go there all the time.
Okay. So yeah, a lot of people don't know that they have a supply store online, and then you just order and you go pick it up at one of the restaurants. And they have alternatives for pretty much everything. So if you're someone who misses butter or eggs, They have those there, and you can't find all that stuff in stores, which is why I love it. A lot of people end up driving across the border just to go to the stores that sell it.
Yeah, I've done that a few times too, because I, you know, some of the sausages, the vegan sausages that you couldn't get up here, I would drive down just to pick those up.
Yeah, what a pain, right? Now you don't have to do it anymore.
Good.
Good thing we met, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Taryn, so much for what you're doing for animals. I really appreciate it. And I really look forward to actually meeting you in person one day and bringing you out to some events.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm really excited.
Okay. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Jen.
Bye-bye. Okay. Bye.
Heard. Mondays at noon, we go for an hour. We talk about culture, gender, race, class, and power. We're bringing sexy back under attack. Cause it's about time folks started taking some flack for promoting a culture where you must be a pessimist if you want to speak your mind and say something feminist. But we know it's not true. From the truth, you can't run. Feminists simply have so much more fun. If the trash that you hear makes you angry or bored, check out the F word at feminisms.org.
So our next guest is Chris Daw, a Vancouver resident who I met through a friend of mine that I do vegan outreach with. And just to give our listeners a little background on what this outreach is, I'll explain. We have a portable TV and sound system, and we show videos obtained by undercover investigators in Canada's factory farms while handing out Mercy for Animals leaflets and discussing veganism to the public. So Chris, you met one of our volunteers in this manner, and he inspired you to go vegan. Can you tell our listeners about that? Oh, we don't have Chris on the line yet. Just hang on one second. So to give our listeners a little bit more of a background on the types of videos that are being played, it's undercover footage obtained by Mercy for Animals, which is an advocacy group based in the U.S. They also have workers in Canada, and they basically they do vegan advocacy, and they promote better welfare standards for animals on factory farms and in slaughterhouses, while ideally trying to go for total abolition of the use of animals in our food system. So we now have Chris on the phone. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Jen.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being on the show today.
Yeah, no, awesome. Happy to do it.
Good. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you came to the decision to go vegan?
Okay. My sister has been a vegan for about 2 years now. And about last February, I think, I just was thinking about it a little bit, and I was like, I should try that out. So I started with being pescatarian, and that lasted till about August. And then I went vegetarian, and then a few weeks ago, I was just walking around kind of downtown Vancouver area, and I met Jeff. Now, have you guys talked about what Jeff is doing?
I'll let you go ahead. Have you got him with you right now, too, by the way?
He's not immediately beside me, but yeah, he is here.
Sure. So you can go ahead and say whatever he's authorized is okay for you to say.
Okay. Sounds good. So anyway, I came to this, SkyTrain station on Cambie and Broadway, I believe. And I could just hear these speakers blasting something. And I came over and there was this large TV mounted on a dolly with a speaker system and everything. And it was playing a footage of factory farms in Canada, and it was a video by Mercy for Animals, and it really took me by surprise. I'd never seen anything like that, so I went over and talked to him, and I kind of told him, you know, I think it's awesome what you're doing. I'm vegetarian, and he gave me kind of some forced congratulations, and then he asked what's keeping me from making the full step to veganism, and I just told him, like, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with dairy or eggs. And, you know, he just kind of helped me see the video a little bit and explain to me what he knows about those industries. And that really hit me pretty hard. And I kind of took that information home and I went vegan later that night. And I kind of texted him and said, thanks for the push. And yeah, and that was it. And that was about 3 weeks ago now.
Awesome. So I have to give credit. That speaker and TV sound system was donated by a woman who made a donation to Toronto Pig Save through Anita Crines. And I don't know if you know who Anita Crines is, do you?
I don't know. That's good to hear.
Yeah. So Anita Crines is an activist from Burlington, Ontario, who has been charged with giving water to thirsty pigs on their way to slaughter. And I'll send you some information on her court case. And we've talked about this on the radio before. And so she has really been put through the ringer and made to be a bit of a scapegoat. No pun intended with the animal puns here.
Wow.
So anyway, she came to the animal advocacy camp last spring, which I think I'll invite you to this year. And she announced to the crowd that she had been offered $27,000 from a private donor for any animal rights activist to fund projects. So I requested $1,400 and put that toward this setup that you saw. And I can't think of a better way to spend that money, because I think we've really been able to impact a lot of people with it. Obviously you, right?
Definitely. Yeah. That's, you know, I actually didn't know the full history behind it. That's cool. Thanks for telling me.
Yeah, Jeff and I actually have two of those setups now. And for anyone listening, we are, I know you mentioned that the speakers were blaring. We do it legally. We have the decibel level at the legal level. And we get a lot of interesting feedback from people. And we always appreciate ones that are open-minded like you, because, of course, we also get people who argue to the death to maintain their current lifestyles. So what exactly did you learn from this outreach that you were previously unaware of in detail?
You know what? Looking back on it, the reason I was kind of like, I went pescatarian and then vegetarian, if I really ask myself my motivations, I think it was more a pride thing rather than anything. I wanted to, you know, kind of just make a firm decision and go with it. And I think it was honestly more for pride. I actually didn't really know the extent that the animals are suffering and tortured even, until I watched some of this footage that was on the TV stand. And then, you know, I've been watching other stuff as well. I watched Earthlings, and that was a whole new thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
That was life changing, that movie for me.
You got through it all, did you?
Nope. It took me two tries. On the first one, I made it about 40 minutes. And I couldn't go any longer. And then, yeah, I started again the next day and finished it.
Yeah. When I watched that, I was crying, and I felt like I was being punched in the stomach physically. And I wanted to kill the people that I was watching on the screen who were doing that to animals. And then I said to myself, you're doing that to animals. You are the one going to the grocery store and buying those products and paying people to do that to animals.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In some ways.
No kidding.
Yeah. So since making the commitment to go vegan, have you felt compelled to spread the message to others about animal cruelty that's inherent in our food production system?
Definitely. I think compelled is even an understatement. I feel like almost a sense of panic to spread the word and just really start to get the momentum, going for this to stop, because, it's scary and it's horrible to even think about. And I've come to a new place now, because I realize you can't just tell everyone, because I don't know, people are individuals, and I've kind of learned a little bit that you can really end up in a position against them where you're fighting with them, and I don't think that does any good at all. I think Jeff was so effective with me, because the first thing he did was connect with me, and he said, you know, wow, congratulations on making a step to vegetarianism. And in that way, I wasn't against him, right? The first interaction we had was connection, so I'm not against him. And then I was way more open to hear what he had to say. So I think it was brilliant how everything went, and it's really cool going out with him, because he's really developed a great way of going about this, and it's good. I try to implement lots of his strategies into what I do as well.
And how many times have you joined Jeff to do this?
Maybe around five times I've been out with him.
Oh, that's more than I thought.
Yeah, no, I don't go out for the full shift. I'll come out for like sometimes as little as an hour, maybe two or three hours. And then actually yesterday, my sister and her boyfriend, who are both vegan, they came out as well. It really feels like the energy is growing, and I actually love going out, because the positive feedback I hear is just so motivating. Or you meet people that are already vegan, and they thank you for what you're doing, and that's so motivating. It's also sort of a source of motivation for me when I hear people kind of freak out or deliberately look the other way or walk away, because that just really shows exactly what's going on. You know, people are either ready to be open to the message or they're not. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's much middle ground.
Yeah, a lot of people want their heads firmly planted in the sand.
Yeah,
it definitely frustrates me. And when I finally made the decision myself 2 years to go vegan, I pretty much just said to someone, pull my head out of the sand. Tell me what I need to watch to make this commitment. Because I'd tried before and failed. And I don't know if you know this, Chris, but the reason I went vegan is because I went to a protest at the Vancouver Aquarium a few years back and ran into an acquaintance of mine. He was the only face I recognized there. And I said to him, I'm so inspired by what you all do. There were probably about 200 activists there. And
yeah.
I just had goosebumps. Like, I just thought, look at the passion. And I thought, what a hypocrite I am. I'm out here fighting for the autonomy of these animals, and then I'm going to go eat some meat afterwards. So I said to him, what can I do that will really solidify my commitment? And he said, watch Earthlings.
Yeah.
It'll do it. And he stayed on the phone with me, and I did it.
And no kidding.
It's really effective. And have you told a lot of people to watch that film?
Yeah, you know, definitely. What I tell them is that, you know, logically, it's a better, healthier life. You'll have more energy, more vitality. Like, there's no reason not to, you know. On the other hand, there's the environmental side of things. Anyone who is concerned about the environment, it's crazy not to consider it. So there's all these pieces of logic. And I was actually talking to a guy about this yesterday, because when we were out at one of the SkyTrain stations, he was telling me that he was interested, you know, he just hasn't been able to take the step. And so I told him, like, there's all these pieces of the puzzle. However, if you want emotional conviction, yeah, watch Earthlings. I honestly think that I would not eat meat if it meant the death of me. Now, after seeing that movie, it's so convicting, and I don't think anyone would not be affected greatly by that movie.
And it isn't just meat, right? It's everything else. It's cheese and dairy and eggs.
It's easy to not think dairy is that. Oh, you just milk the cow and drink the milk. Farmers do that all the time. But it's like, no, the industrialization of it is hell on earth for animals.
Yeah, you've worded that very well. So do you have a support network of family and friends? Well, obviously you said your sister and her boyfriend or husband are vegan.
Her boyfriend, yeah, no. They were vegan before me, and they're great. I really get along well with them, especially now. My brother is a huge fisherman, and I don't think he'd ever stop fishing, but he's pescatarian right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he eats fish, and only the fish that he catches on his own out in the ocean or in the river or whatever. And honestly, like, I don't have a personal problem with that. I wouldn't do it, but I don't fight him at all on that one, and I think it's good what he's doing. And I'm of firm belief that within the year, my mom at least, and maybe my dad, I feel my mom is a little bit more liquid and open. My dad is great, but he's a bit of an outdoorsman and a big fisherman and everything.
Mm.
But you know what? I'm not giving him enough credit. He's actually very open-minded and does what he can to support us. So I wouldn't be surprised if they both went.
That's great. Now, since you've done advocacy with Jeff for a few days, what is the most annoying and common arguments against veganism that you've heard, and how do you respond?
Hmm.
We hear some silly things, right?
Yeah, there are a few. The most annoying, I think, is when people say any sort of argument that discounts everything. You know, like, I had one guy tell me, oh, well, we eat vegetables, we're killing thousands and, you know, or millions of squirrels and insects in the grass anyway. So, you know, we're slaughtering animals no matter what we're doing. And, you know, obviously that's not the case for many reasons, but any sort of argument that attempts to just dismiss everything based on the fact that it's not perfect, that really frustrates me.
Mm-hmm, me
and
too.
It's harder for me to keep my emotions out of it. When people say things like, you know, oh, eating meat is how we developed our brains, I just remind them that Einstein was a vegetarian. And or people say that, like, oh, you know, you can't get enough protein, period. Like, there's just so many people now, and professional athletes and famous people and actors that are vegan or vegetarian, and it's just not true. Like, I watched a TED Talk, and the guy said, you know, being worried about protein on a vegan diet is like being afraid of the boogeyman. It's just a myth that's just gone. And those I find a little easier to deal with. But when people attempt to discount it, or like they say, oh, your shoes are leather, whether or not they are, you know, they try to just kind of relieve themselves from all the guilt by saying, oh, I can never be perfect anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it gets easier the longer you do it, and you've got a really good mentor in Jeff. And forward to sending you some information about Anita as well. And I also look forward to joining you and Jeff with your next outreach that you do. So thanks so much for making time for us today, Chris.
No problem. This was awesome. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
So we have some information here for anyone that would like to take part in Veganuary. As I said earlier in the show, vegansupply.ca is run by the owners of two local vegan restaurants, Meat on Main and Meat Gastown. And you can order online and pick up your food at the restaurants. They have all kinds of vegan versions of items that one may crave, such as vegan butter, liquid egg made of pea protein, vegan cheese, meats, and even comfort foods such as chips and macaroni and cheese. Also, another local business, which is owned by an activist, Plant-Based Food and Natural Products. It's a local Vancouver business having a huge sale this week, which ends tomorrow. You can check out the website plantbase, with no D on the end, food.com, where you will find a list of products as well as recipes. I personally know the owner of this business, and trust me when I say that by supporting him, you are supporting the entire community. I don't know anyone who gives back to the community quite as much as he does. David Isbister is a full-time social activist who has taught me so much about social justice, animal rights, and veganism. He's a lifelong vegetarian. Now vegan, donates food for so many of our events, and recently even set up a huge fundraising campaign to buy a car for someone with a medical condition who required the vehicle to get around after having surgery. He is the most generous person I've ever met in my life, and please support him. So plantbasefood.com. As for films, there are so many documentaries on Netflix and YouTube about veganism that will help you. Some of my favorites are Food Choices, which is new on Netflix, Cowspiracy, nothing graphic in that just talks about the environmental impact of raising animals for food, Forks Over Knives, and of course Earthlings. I can't mention that one enough. That one's on YouTube. Another thing that I would suggest looking up is Dr. Michael Greger's speech entitled The Leading Causes of Death in a Plant-Based Diet. Dr. Greger is a vegan and promotes plant-based diet as being the healthiest one, which can prevent or reverse some of the most common diseases. His website is nutritionfacts.org, and he and his team diligently comb through all the latest medical research on health and disease every day, which is approximately 20 peer-reviewed journals per day. And he presents the information to the public via short video clips and write-ups on his website. So he makes them make sense for people that don't have a lot of scientific background. He's actually quite entertaining as well. His latest book is called How Not to Die, and it's been flying off the shelves. I work in healthcare as a massage therapist, and I often use his website as a resource for my patients' conditions such as arthritis or inflammation. And another great resource for those wanting to go vegan is a book by a Vancouver woman named Vicento Molina. She is a longtime vegan, nutritionist, and dietitian. Her book is called Becoming Vegan, and I recommend it for anyone who has dietary concerns or wants to know how much of a certain nutrient they require, where to obtain it from a plant-based diet. It's actually really scientific. And for those of you wanting to engage in activism or have an answer to the people who challenge you on being vegan with silly questions, I always recommend vegansidekick.com. This is a really funny website. Richard Watts is the creator of this collection of cartoons and the website. And he also writes books and has a frequently asked question section on the website with every possible argument against veganism that we often hear. So Chris, I hope you're listening. This could maybe be a resource for you. And he has logical answers to all of these commonly used arguments. I often just copy and paste the arguments when I'm in online debates with people, as it makes my life much easier as an activist. And I do find these discussions quite draining, although they are necessary. So for information about Veganuary plus many resources, check out veganuary.com. It has pretty much all the information you need to make your New Year's resolution to be a more compassionate person. And the idea is to just go vegan for January, but we're of course hoping that you will go all the way. With the end of the year wrapping up, if any of you are looking for an organization to donate to by the end of the year, please consider one of my favorites, Animal Justice, who leads the legal fight for animals in Canada. Their lawyers work to pass strong new animal protection laws, push for the prosecution of animal abusers, and fight for animals in court. Check out the work they've done on their website, animaljustice.ca. If any of you have any extended health benefits to use up, I am personally donating all proceeds from massaging tomorrow to animal rights groups. You can book a massage by emailing me at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com, and we're hoping to raise about $700 to donate to lots of animal charities. We will also post all of this information on our Facebook page as well as on our website. Thank you for tuning in today. You've been listening to the Animal Voices show on 100.5 FM CFRO Vancouver, Canada. Please join us every Friday at noon or listen to previous shows on our website, animalvoices.org, on Twitter at animalvoicesyvr, Facebook, Animal Voices Vancouver, or email us at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. We will close with a song by the Yeah Yeah Yeahs called Gold Lion. And is it the drummer who is vegan?
The guitarist, Nick Zinner, is vegan.
Awesome. And stay tuned for Radio EcoShock after that.
Gold Lion's gonna tell me.